It is time for some NHL hockey talk. It is time for the Debate Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Bradbury. Join alongside Blake Friars. And last week, you know, Blake, we started the show by talking about the weather.
I was listening
to the show after, and I'm like, are we like a bunch of 80-year-old guys, like, talking about the weather? Like, seriously, we talked for 5 minutes about the weather. I will say this week, though.
It's been brutal.
It's new levels of cold.
I grew up here my whole life, and I can't remember a time where it was this cold. Like, yesterday, driving home from Regina, I went up to Regina to watch a couple WHL games, and my battery, I had to get a new battery. Wouldn't even start to get boosted. It was just like, it was brutal. So I had to get a new battery. It was minus 52 with the wind chill in Saskatchewan yesterday. It's just ridiculous.
Same in the Dakotas. The Saskatchewan Prairies and the Dakota Prairies
are cold right now. It's so bad. And then Buffalo, look what's going on in Buffalo. Not anymore, but the last couple of days it was brutal there. But
cold weather all around. Well, enough weather talk here. We did this last week and I made fun of us, and now we're doing it again this week. I'm not sure. Last week, you know, during the show, we discussed the trade, the Drysdale trade for Cutter Gauthier. And, you know, we kind of touched on it. And I don't know why, when we were doing the show, I just didn't feel like it was that big of a deal. And the more I've thought about it since then, it's like, you know, that's a fairly substantial trade.
Right.
Interesting trade, created some controversy. I hate it when players say they don't want to play for a team. And I hated it more when he says, well, I don't want to play for the team, and I'm not saying why. It's like, well, what? Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know.
I mean, like I talked about last week, I mean, you got to give credit to Danny Briere for turning that disgruntled asset into Jamie Drysdale on a second-round pick. So
that's a great return. That is a great, great
return. I think it'll be a win-win trade in the end, because I think Cutter Gauthier, he's going to be a good player. But that has the makings to be a hockey trade down the road. Like, you trade for a defenseman, and Anaheim gets a more center depth down the middle.
A much bigger trade than I probably gave it credit on the shoot, if that makes sense. Hey, have you ever seen too many men on the ice penalties called at the same time?
No, I don't think so.
I didn't see it. I went back and watched it, but I saw the tweet. Boston, Colorado last Monday night or Tuesday night, get called for too many men on the ice at the same time.
I'll have to go look that up. That's wild.
Unreal. I couldn't believe it. Hey, is there anything better in hockey than the dad's trips?
No, that's seems to have sparked the old flames too.
I don't know if it was that. They were going a little bit before that, but I mean, it's just the story.
It's always good to get them on. Yeah. Even the mom trips are cool too. Like, I like all those trips. Like, there's some teams that do like siblings trips and stuff like that. So yeah, those are always fun to watch for sure.
It's just, I don't know, something special about
watch the Flames dads tying the skates in the before practice.
Calgary really did it right. They really did it right.
They did.
It was really, really cool. Lots to talk about on the show today. We're going to talk about the Winnipeg Jets and how they have surprised the whole hockey world and flown to the top of the Central Division.
Surprised?
You want me to pull the predictions out, Blake? I believe you had them out of the playoffs.
Okay, but it's not surprising.
The heck it's not. Nobody had Winnipeg winning the Central.
Listen.
Nobody did.
It's not. Okay, but they have a good team, though.
Absolutely.
It's not surprising. Vancouver, where Vancouver is way more surprising than Winnipeg.
We've already talked about Vancouver 50 times this year.
Okay, but it's not like at this stage, it's not surprising anymore. It's not surprising anymore.
You had them out of the playoffs.
Okay, that's fine. But I also said I wouldn't be surprised if this team was up in the top three in the division. They're a good team.
We'll see. But we're going to talk about that. Then we'll talk about the loser Leafs, the Power Pacific. Merzlikins wants out. Foligno extended. Zegras is injured. And some total ass jerseys. All right. We started the argument early because you got to argue about everything. Winnipeg. Winnipeg currently, as we record this on Monday night, sits atop of the Central Division with 60 points. One better than the Colorado Avalanche, who I think are playing right now. But as we record this, they are sitting atop the Central. And I know you say it's not a surprise, even though you didn't pick them to make the playoffs, which would make it a surprise. Yeah, that would make it a surprise. This team is on a roll. 8-1-1 in their last 10. Up until Saturday, they had an 8-game winning streak. It got snapped by a pretty damn good surprising. We're going to talk about them in a little bit. Philadelphia Flyers team.
Yeah.
But this team is getting top-end goaltending. Top-end goaltending.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Connor Hellebuck's one of the best in the league, right?
Yeah, but Brossoit's right there, too. They got Hellebuck's 0.924, and Brossoit's got a 0.923.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. No, it's probably... It's up there for tandems. I mean,
up there. I think it would be the top.
The top three are the top three in the standings right now.
Who is a better?
I would say Vancouver, Boston, Winnipeg have the three best tandems in the league right now. In no particular order.
I'd probably give the nod to Winnipeg right now for order, even if you went in order, because I think it's been a big part. Not the only part. You're getting good production from Scheifele, Ehlers, Morrissey.
Well, he's hurt. Did he come back?
Who?
Did he play? Scheifele? Is he still out?
He's out right now. It sounds like he's day-to-day, possible return on Saturday.
Yeah, so we'll keep something to keep an eye on for sure. But Morrissey's elevated his game. It's kind of weird how, like, think about this though. Like, they're doing all of this with Kyle Connor. Like, he
leads the team in scoring.
He's one of them, right? Like, that's pretty scary that they're chugging along here without Connor. Like, he drives the bus. Like, Scheifele's the guy. He's the centerman. Kyle Connor drives the bus, right? And
played 26 games and leads the team in goals. Still.
He's
due to be back late January.
Yeah.
From his knee injury. But yeah, he leads the team with 17 goals. Scheifele leads the team with 27 assists.
Yeah.
Leads Scheifele 41 points. But like, who saw this? Dylan DeMello plus 26. What?
No, he's good. He's good D man. He plays the Morrissey, does he not?
You want to hear something really, really crazy? This team is 26th in penalty kill.
Yeah.
They're doing this being the 26th ranked team in the penalty kill.
What's their power play?
23rd. That's amazing.
They're winning some close games.
They're winning the hard way.
Yeah.
They're winning the hard way.
Yep.
If they could get that power play.
I don't know if that's sustainable, though. That bad of special teams. Oof.
I know. But
eventually, something's got to give there.
Or halfway point right now.
I know.
Still clicking along.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say that would be my comment to it too. I'd agree with you. Is it sustainable? But every time I think they're going to start, is it sustainable? You know what? It is.
Their special team. No, I'm talking about their special team, like winning with that bad of special team.
I know, but if you continue to get good goaltending, that's how you do it, right?
Right. No, good goaltending flaws a lot of mistake. A lot of what's it called? Flaws a lot of
hides a lot of mistakes. How does that?
Hides flaws. Hides flaws.
There we go.
Yeah.
Other teams. There's some other teams on some killer streaks. Edmonton 10-0-0, 10 wins in a row. Franchise record for the Edmonton Oilers.
That honestly surprises me.
Surprised me too.
I was like, franchise record. I'm like, Gretzky, Coffey, Messier. I'm like, this team didn't win more than 10 in a row.
Yeah, but you got to remember back then, they were not good at defense. I'm a lot like this team.
Yeah, but they scored 7-8 a night.
I know. Grand Fear let in 7.
Hey, listen, I'll admit it. I will give Darnell Nurse his flowers. And I think that Paul Coffey's helped him a lot. I think his defensive game has grown a lot. Like, I've watched a lot of the Oilers. It's grown a lot. He's been a lot better. Bouchard's getting better. He's still not ideal. Bouchard's still got a ways to go, but is Darnell Nurse going to live up to his 9.25 a year? No, but
you remember how bad he was the first 2 weeks of the season?
I think he's in a place right now, though, where he's manageable. He's manageable.
I would agree. So I would agree.
I think Paul Coffey's helped him a lot.
Yeah. That's about when it started to change, too.
Stuart Skinner has a 950 on this, 950 save percentage on this streak. So,
you're getting goaltending. I don't care how good you are offensively. Yeah. Without goaltending, you're not going to
win. Yeah, so Skinner looks like he's turned the corner. There's a lot of goalies that are starting to turn the corner. You got Markstrom in Calgary playing better. He's won his last four starts. Yep, that's good. It's good news for you.
Florida's also on a 9-game heater. They're 9-1.
They lost the last two, I think.
Yeah, they lost. But I mean, 9-1 in the last. I mean, up until today.
Yeah,
like we mentioned, Winnipeg, Colorado's 8-1-1, Vancouver's 7-2-1, and hey, are the Carolina Hurricanes back? They're 7-1-2.
Yeah, that's 7-2-1. Oh, you might have screenshotted this last night, but yeah. So Carolina's slowly starting to figure it out and got more injuries to goaltenders. Like, it's, oh my God. I don't know. It's a lot of adversity that team's faced this year, for sure.
Seattle, they're on a roll too. I mean, lots of good teams, you know, and I sat and I thought about it. I'm like, all right, we're at the mid-season point. And what grades would you give teams? I'm not going to go through every team, but I'm going to throw out a couple, and I want you to give me a letter grade like we were back in fifth grade here.
Okay.
On what that team would be. What do you give the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I will give Tampa Bay a B+.
Really?
Because they were without their starting goaltender for the first 6 weeks of the season, and they're somehow still there, right? We both thought at the start of the year, no Vasilevskiy, this team might run into some problems. And here they are in a wild card spot over halfway through the year. So
I give him a C+.
I give him a B. Like that, without Vasi for, I think he missed 20 games. That's a lot. It's a lot.
So what do you give the Edmonton Oilers?
Well, this is this is an inflated grade right now because they're hot. But at one point in the season, they're probably
like a
D-.
Yeah.
Almost F, right? And now. I'd probably say B-. Like they're figuring it out. I mean, we all expect them. I picked them to win the Stanley Cup, so at least they're not making me look like a clown right now, which is good.
What would you put for the New York Islanders?
Oh, that's just a weird team. Like I've watched a lot of the Islanders the past week because they've just been on, and I've watched them, and you got guys leaving the bench before the game, and it's just, I don't know, man. It's
something weird there.
It's weird.
I give them a C.
I give them like a C-, something like that.
Yeah, I was leaning C- too. Yeah. What do you give the LA Kings? That's another team.
That team is a disaster. Now they've lost 8 in a row,
which is so surprising.
And
I believe they won today.
They're picking up. They're picking up points, but listen, Brad. If I was to tell you 2 months ago that the LA Kings 2 months in the future would lose 8, they just won today.
Yep, I know.
So they just snapped their 8-game losing streak today. Yeah. That the Oilers 2 months ago, where they were at, would make up 15 points in 20 games on the Kings. I would say you're absolutely insane. But here we are. Here we are. I didn't think the Oilers were going to sniff third place. That's how far back they were.
I didn't
think. Would it surprise me if they did? 100%. But they were so bad. They were like 20 points out of third. Now they're three.
Well, I mean, you got to look at what's happened too, though. Like when LA goes cold and they lose 8 and Edmonton wins 10, I mean,
That's a lot.
That's a lot of games.
Well, here they think the thing about the if you're a Kings fan, at least you're managing your losses here. Like you got 8 overtime losses, you got 4 overtime losses on that streak of 8 losing streaks, so you're still picking up some points. But yeah, it's not been ideal for sure.
No, 2-4-4 in their last 10, and a little bit of a struggle bus lately. So, what would you give the New York Rangers?
New York's a good team. They are they're a really good team. I would probably give them an A-.
Yeah, I would say they're right in that. I would say maybe an A. I mean, they're right. I mean, they're ahead. They're leading their division. That's kind of where we thought they would be too.
Yeah,
but they're doing it. You know, we thought we had them right up there with Carolina.
Yeah,
they're definitely right there. So, what would you do the Buffalo Sabres?
Oh, I watched them against Vancouver the other day, and boy, this team just looks lifeless. They got, other than Thompson, they got no game breakers. Their goaltending's inconsistent. They take stupid penalties.
Well, is this what you get when you rebuild a hockey team?
How long have we been rebuilding, though? Eventually, you got to take a next step.
Well, we've been talking for 4 years that they
we've been pounding the damn table for Buffalo to take a step. Here we go. Here they're coming. They're coming. Last 3 years, and they're still at the start line. They haven't the race car hasn't moved. The engine's kind of revved on the race car to get going on this track, but it's stuck in neutral. The driver hasn't put it in drive yet.
So I'm gonna make a point here, and I'm probably gonna catch some flack for this.
But here we go. Buckle your seatbelts. Okay, I'm listening.
Oh, I think you might agree with me. I look at teams like the Los Angeles Kings. I look at teams like the Vancouver Canucks. Weren't going in the right direction 2-3 years ago. At all.
No.
They didn't tear down to the studs. They didn't tank and get a number one. They picked away at it. They rebuilt. They kept some key parts. They slid in some UFAs. They made a few trades. They had a few prospects hit. They plugged in pieces. And now they're, I don't want to say cup contenders, but right in the talk of that, right?
Yeah.
You look at teams like Ottawa and Buffalo, who went the tear down to the studs. We're going to do the old Pittsburgh Penguins way. And look where they're at. The fan bases always say that, oh, we want to rebuild, we want to rebuild, we want to rebuild. No, they don't want
to rebuild. You got to be careful with that word, though. You got to be careful with that word.
What do you mean?
What Vancouver did.
That wasn't a rebuild. That was a retool. My point is that I don't think a rebuild is the way to go. I think retooling is the way to go.
Listen, well, okay. Let's look at Vancouver.
Rangers.
Hold on. Yeah, but hold on. The Rangers also got lucky in the draft lottery with 2 number one picks.
Hey, it's part of the retool. That's
I'm just saying.
You can say that about Vancouver, right?
They didn't get first overall picks.
No, but you had a couple draft picks hit.
Right.
It's not different. There's no difference.
But it's easier. Okay, so you look at, like, if you have a number one center, a number one D-man, and a number one goalie to build your team around, it's a little easier to plug and play places in here, okay?
Hey, LA didn't have a goalie.
No, hold on. We're talking about Ottawa here, okay? Does Ottawa have a number one goalie right now? The answer is no. That's what I'm saying. They haven't drafted and developed a goalie.
Name me the last team that drafted and developed a goalie.
We already went over this. We've already been over this.
How many of them?
I was talking. Who was I talking to?
How many goalies?
I was talking to somebody, and over half of the teams in the NHL have a drafted and or developed goaltender. Over half. Yeah.
Who?
What?
Who does?
Okay. Let's see here. Boston. Toronto. Okay.
Oh, God.
Wall was drafted. Yeah. Okay. Rangers, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Montreal, Columbus.
All the bottom teams here.
Winnipeg, Winnipeg, Dallas, Vancouver, Nashville, Edmonton. They drafted Stuart Skinner.
Oh, okay.
St. Louis, Minnesota. Let's see.
St. Louis, you're wrong on St. Louis.
Bennington wasn't drafted? What are you talking about?
He was not drafted by the Blues.
Oh, my God. Okay, they still developed him, Brad. They still developed him.
Austin did.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
I'm serious.
Minnesota developed Gustafson. John Gibson. I win the argument. It's over half.
I said over half. They didn't draft him.
Okay, I said drafted or developed.
Well, okay, so you could say that about any player then.
Just saying. Okay, do they have a number one center? No, they don't. They have a good winger. They have a bunch of good wingers.
They had a number one center.
And do they have a good... who?
Buffalo?
No, we're talking about Ottawa. We're on Ottawa.
Well, Ottawa's got some... I mean,
heck... Ottawa's got good pieces, but they're all wingers. Josh Norris is not a number one center. I'm sorry.
Vancouver didn't get any of their centers through the draft.
Elias Pettersson died? What are you talking about?
They got one.
Okay. What are you talking about, dude?
What I'm saying, my point is, Blake, I'm not talking about drafting goalies. I'm talking about the tearing your team down has not been in the last 10 years in the National Hockey League. Tearing your team to the studs has not been as successful as retooling like the Rangers, Kings. I mean,
if you tear down, it all depends on what pillars you have as your foundation. Okay.
Well, unless you draft a Malkin and Crosby, you're not going to be successful.
Like for Vancouver, it's a little easier to retool when you got Pettersson, Hughes, and Demko as your three pillars.
Well, then maybe Buffalo shouldn't have tore down so far.
Yeah, there is an argument for that for sure.
Right? I mean, you had Jack Eichel.
Yeah. He asked for a trade. When a guy wants out, when a guy doesn't want to be there, it's hard to argue that.
I agree, but he probably wouldn't have asked for a trade if you'd have put him in a better situation.
Right. They didn't put enough players around him, and I agree with that. But if a player doesn't want to be there and you don't want to do the surgery that the player wants, it's like,
well, I mean, that's another factor in this. You know, I mean, I'm just looking at it sheerly in success rate. The last team that tore down and was successful was the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, they also got lucky winning the lottery and getting Crosby and then getting Malkin the year before.
I agree, but that was part of the rebuild, right?
Right. But like Crosby fell in their lap. Like all 30 teams had a chance to get Crosby and they won the lottery because there was a lockout year.
Yep. But so. I'm just saying. Fan bases scream for rebuilds. I think retool is what they should be screaming for, right?
Yeah, like you can't trade everybody. You can't trade everybody.
It doesn't work.
Like for Calgary, for instance, okay? Could you retool by retaining half on Markstrom and trading Tanev and trading Lindholm and getting players in there, but still having Huberto and Kadri and maybe extending Hanifin around and help those kids develop? I think that wouldn't be a bad idea.
I think it'd be great to extend Hanifin, but you can't retain on Markstrom when he has 3 years left.
He's two. He's two.
Yeah, why you're not retain for the next 2 years?
Why not?
Why would you
maximize your value? What do you mean? Why not?
He's a great goalie. Why would you trade him?
Because not many teams can make $6 million fit in their cap. Retain more, get more assets back.
Why would Calgary want to trade him?
To get assets for the future. What do you mean? He's going to be what, 34?
Well, what about next year and the year after?
I don't know, man. It's just like this deadline is going to make or break Calgary's next 2 to 3 years and what the direction they're going in.
Wait.
What?
Calgary's got a lot of really good core parts.
Okay, but
I don't know that trading Markstrom is the best plan of action.
I never said I would trade him. I said they might look to do that. That's all I said.
The return would have to be hellacious.
You're telling me Toronto wouldn't give a king's ransom for him right now?
What would they give?
Half retained.
What would they give? Marner? They're not giving Marner up for the before the playoffs.
It's not happening this year. This is a summer trade if it happens. That's what I'm saying. Toronto's got to do something. Toronto has to do something.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why would Calgary, in the offseason, why would Calgary do Toronto a favor and retain money on Markstrom?
To maximize their value.
What can Toronto give that Calgary was going to
wow? Listen, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. All I'm saying is this offseason, we are going to know what the direction of the Calgary Flames is this offseason. This deadline. Because if they trade Lindholm, Hanifin, and Tanev, which is a good possibility.
Let me tell you exactly what's going to happen.
They're going to keep everybody and lose him for free?
No. They're going to re-sign Hanifin. They're going to keep Markstrom because that would be the smart thing to do. They're going to trade Tanev and get a fairly decent return, a pretty darn good return.
I think you get more for Tanev than Lindholm right now.
They're going to trade Lindholm and they're going to get an underwhelming return.
Yeah.
And that's all of them. The rest are gone. Zadorov's gone. What do you do?
I would extend Hanifin. I would be comfortable giving him an 8-year deal. I would.
He's
26. He's 26.
27, I think.
27. 6 to 8 in that range.
Well, he's not doing it without 8 because somebody else is going to give him 8 or 7.
Right.
So I mean, why?
Like he's a minutes eater. I think he has the third most minutes in the league. So, yeah. He's a horse back there. You got to sign guys like that. That's a pillar piece that you can build your team around.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about our sponsors a little bit. Stick Manitz is our sponsor. Get all your logos for your helmets. Get it for your bags, bag tags, locker room, door signs, water bottles. They got it all. Stickbandits.com. Get on over. Check them out. They are our sponsor, and we appreciate all the help they give the show. Time to go around the league, and we're going to talk about the team we just got done talking about, not the Calgary Flames. We're going to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs and 3 third period leads in a row that they blow. Last night, they dropped one to Detroit, 4-2 after being up in the third period. I don't understand.
They were up 3-1 on the road against the Islanders, lost in overtime. They're up 3-0 at home to the Colorado Avalanche, and they lost 5-3. And they're up 2-1 in the third period and lost to the Detroit Red Wings. So
really interesting. I want to touch on the comments made by weather head coach after the Colorado game, telling the hockey world how wonderful Makar and MacKinnon are and that they're on another level. I do agree with him. I mean, I really do, but just hearing it and how his team would perceive his communication about those players when you just signed a guy to an $11 million contract and almost, he didn't say it outright, but almost hinted that their core isn't producing like they need to produce. I felt the conversation was very awkward.
He's walking the fine line. Like he usually does. He's got some interesting comments come out of his mouth for sure. He's
freaking true. It's true.
But this is an internal thing. This is internal. There's nothing you can do as management that to help this. This is
well there's one thing you can do.
This is a repeating pattern. This is a repeating pattern that blowing leads, whether it's the regular season, whether it's the playoffs. How many times are we going to say this about the Leafs? There is 0-0-0 accountability in that franchise right now.
They do not.
You want to send a message? Plant Marner for a couple shifts. Like, come on.
Plant Nylander for a couple shifts.
Seriously, man. Like, there's no, like, I remember one time in, like, it was Boston last year. Marner walked down the hallway. He left the bench, walked down the hallway, came back and didn't miss a shift. listen, if I'm head coach and my player leaves the bench, you're done. You're done the rest of the game. I don't care if you're making $11 million. If you're mentally checked out enough to walk down the hallway and have a little hissy fit and a timeout, like, come on. Not happening. There's no accountability. And these problems are going to continue to happen. They're going to continue to blow leads, and they're going to continue to point the finger at others until they fix it themselves.
Well, you know what exacerbates the problem too? Is when your head coach is like petitioning for penalty calls. Like, yes, that was a cross check on Nathan McKinnon.
Matthews.
Cross check on Matthews. It was. It's just a missed call. It's one.
Happens all the time.
It didn't take a scoring chance away. I'm sorry. Like, I'm tired of the poor baby Toronto Maple Leafs that are worried. I don't understand it. So if they're so worried about it, get somebody with a set of nuts on their team to go take care of the problem.
Yeah.
They just skate away.
Hey, that's what they signed Reeves for.
I need to rattle this off for you. I liked Brad Treliving when he was in Calgary. I did. I thought he did a really good job.
Here we go. Buckle your seatbelts.
I did. For the most part, you know, he had a few bad signings, but every GM, we can go through the list. Every GM has a few goods and a few bads, right? But as a whole in Calgary, I thought Brad Treliving was pretty good. What he was best at was being able to sign guys like Anderson and, you know, Lindholm.
Coleman.
At pretty friendly deals, right? Team-friendly deals, right? That was his strength, okay? But now since he's got to Toronto, I don't know if this dude drank some bad water or something. Okay, he extends Sheldon Keefe. He signs Klingberg for 4.15.
One year.
I'm sorry, that's still too high for him.
He's on LTIR now, so that doesn't matter.
Well, it matters to the management team. Reeves, 3 years at 1.35. Camp, 4 years at 2.4. Bertuzzi gets 5.5. Samsonov gets 3.5. Nylander, 11.5 for 8 more years. Matthews, 13. I mean, I can't argue the Matthews one. I think that's pretty.
Can't argue about Matthews or Nylander.
Well, I might argue about Nylander. I think it's a tad high, but we'll see. Time will tell on that one, right? That one's too early to throw a dagger. But I look at these other ones and I'm like, well, okay, here's where I think the Nylander one is. It's going to cash strap them so much. That's probably more.
Well, no, you can't say that yet until you get the number in on Tavares.
Well, Tavares is history.
Well, unless he takes a huge hometown discount.
Why would you do that?
It's his hometown. It's his hometown. He's the captain. He wants to deliver a cup there. I don't know. Wouldn't you take $3 million to keep everyone together? I would. If you're he's gonna be 35. You don't need money.
$3 million. I don't know if they're gonna be able to afford that.
I don't know.
$62 million of 87 already.
Listen, I'm telling you, Mitch Marner has a no move clause that just kicked in this year. It might be time to approach Mitch and say, hey, like, we're thinking about moving you here.
What if he says no?
I'm saying it's an option. I'm just saying it's an option for them. You have to look at seriously considering trading Mitch Marner in the offseason. Yeah. Because what I would do is I would move Mitch to a team, get picks and prospects and maybe one roster player back. Use the rest of the money to get build your defense.
I don't know if you're
Trade Marner for a defenseman.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got to be a pretty friendly contract defenseman.
Yeah. Or like Brett Pesce or something. Oh,
Pacific Division's on fire lately.
Yep.
Absolutely on fire lately. The Oilers, the Kraken, the Flames. Vancouver's been really good. I mean, just everybody's been good. Joey DeCordy's been amazing for Seattle. I don't know. I'm really interested to see what happens in the Pacific. It's been a lot of fun to watch this last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Your thoughts on Merzlikins in Columbus. Now there's lots of talks. He says, I love Columbus. I love these guys. I grew up here, but I'm not a backup goaltender.
Yep.
I don't know what happens here, but I think he's the first goalie moved.
Here is the problem though. And this is absolutely no disrespect directed at all. if you can't earn more starts over Spencer Martin, we have issues. We have a serious problem.
Yep, I agree.
We have a serious problem.
Yep.
If he can't outperform a longtime AHL East Coast Hockey League lifer who got a chance in Vancouver and now earned a contract, good for him, with the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm just saying.
I know. A backup contract who had stole the starter job.
What are we talking about here? You're not a backup. You're not playing well. That's why you're not. That's why you're a backup.
I know.
No shit, you're not a backup. But right now, you ain't playing like a starter. So what's the issue here?
No, I'm with you. I agree completely.
Jeez, oh, yeah. I don't know, man.
Chicago extends Nick Foligno 2 years, 4.5 AAV. And I thought it was slightly ironic that he's been kind of a heart and soul guy for Chicago. And he was the guy that stood up for Connor Bedard. Heard he's been mentoring Connor Bedard, and now he gets an extension. I think they go hand in hand.
Listen, did you listen to his press conference?
I did not, know.
It was amazing. He got asked, like, why he extended in Chicago when you're late in your career and you want to go chase the Stanley Cup. And he's like, listen, man, like, he basically said that, you know, if you're trying to build a culture, you can't just have guys leaving all the time. You got to stay and you got to build. And he talked about how teams that are projected to do bad can do good, and, you know, you can get hot or whatever. So he just kind of went on. It was kind of a really good interview. So it was good.
He's a guy that Buffalo or Ottawa needed, right?
Yeah, no, like, he's I don't know, like, I think if Toronto could have a do-over, they would have extended him.
Yeah, I probably agree. Zegras goes down, he'll have surgery, he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks. That is tough. And in the same game, they lose Pavel Mitnikov, who suffered a separated shoulder. He's going to be sick. Oof.
Yeah, that's a tough break for Zegras, who just came back, and now he breaks his ankle. So, yeah, a little bit of a frustrating year for him, and it sucks for the game because he's electric to watch.
One last thing before we get on to three questions: All-Star jerseys. Are these not the worst All-Star jerseys you've ever seen?
Can we just go back when players just wore their own jerseys?
Yeah, they did do that. They did that in the skills. They never did that in games.
Are you sure?
Yeah, they always had a jersey, but they were really cool jerseys back in the day. They were just like a white jersey with the NHL logo on the front. And then
there was it said Western and Eastern.
Well, they had that too. They had that too for quite some time. But for a long time, like back when Lemieux and Gretzky played, it was just a white and a black. The East War, the whatever, you know, the home team, whatever team was in.
But like, you really realistically could do that. You could. The home team wears all the home jerseys, and the white team wears white.
Yeah, you could.
That would be cool. You know how much color would be on the ice? It'd be awesome.
This is pathetic.
It's bad. And when I saw the Biebs design these, like, oh boy, Biebs, it's a tough look. You got good music, Biebs, but let's leave the jersey designing to the professionals, please.
Whew, I don't know.
I love Biebs. I love his music. He's not a jersey designer.
I don't. He doesn't know what music is. So, all right, three questions.
It's time for three questions.
These better be good. I've been looking forward to these all day.
All right. Well, it's my turn to throw them at you. You're going to get it back at me next week. So, all right. Number one, will Austin Matthews score 70 goals this season?
What's he at right now? Can I get an update?
Put it in perspective. He needs 37 goals in his final 43.
I say he does it.
Poof. I don't.
I say he does it.
That's tall pass. That's almost a goal a game.
But the rate this guy's going,
well, we'll see. Oh, right,
it would be awesome for him to hit 70. It'd be great for the league. It'd be good for the league.
Great for the Leafs.
Well, that too, but yeah. I honestly think it's a like a legit shot.
Question number two. This week, a Sportsnet report stated that someone in the Vancouver Canucks organization wanted Boudreau to play Quinn Hughes at center. Bruce Boudreau said this, and I believe it. I just want to know what your thoughts are, not on the comment, on do you think he really would be a good center?
I mean, he's always in the ozone. First of all, I don't believe Bruce. I don't.
Why would
I don't believe Bruce? Think about this. Hold on. Think about this. Think about how badly that organization treated Bruce. Why wouldn't you go and say something outlandish like that?
Oh, so you're sitting here telling me, that Bruce Boudreau, who's trying to get another job in the league. Trying to get another job in the league. He's sitting at home drinking coffee one day and he says, you know what? I'm going to make up this harebrained story about the Vancouver Canucks. Absolutely not.
I don't believe it at all. I don't.
Yeah, that's just because you're a Canucks fan and you don't want to admit that there's someone in your organization
And if it's Francesco Accolini, that wouldn't surprise me. He doesn't know much about hockey.
So there you go. It could have been, right?
But I'm just saying, first of all, that would never happen. It's ridiculous.
I didn't say it would. And obviously, Bruce Boudreau thought it was ridiculous too, right? I'm just saying it was.
I don't know, man. I would love to be a fly on the wall in that conversation.
Question number three. Would you sign Corey Perry if you were a contending hockey team?
I would. I would sign him. He's a proven winner. He does it time and time again in the playoffs. He does it all. He hits, he penalty kills, he's mean, he'll fight. He'll score you some clutch goals. I mean, I remember in 2020 when he was on Montreal, he had plenty of huge goals down the stretch in the playoffs. Like that guy's gamer. It's going to be what, vet minimum 750 grand. Sign me up.
Sign him. And you know 100%. What? If the league's too chicken shit,
yeah,
just to say what he did, then I'm signing him, man.
I will 100%, 100%.
All right, listener question. This is a good one. Should the Detroit Red Wings re-sign or trade Patrick Kane?
Who's it from?
Where's my notes on that? Steven Hawkhalter.
Oh. Okay, Steven, it's a good question. I think that he will be traded.
You think so, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Do you think that they try to re-sign, though?
They might, but...
He has a no-trade clause. Do you think he waives that?
Depends, I think he would, depending on where he's going to go. Right. It also depends on... What the Detroit Red Wings do the next month or so here until the deadline, 2 months. If they're out of a playoff spot, I mean, yeah, you'd probably trade him.
I don't know. I feel bad. I don't even know how to answer this question because, you know, he went down with a little tweak last night. They say it wasn't related to his
Toronto. Trip. Yeah.
He didn't return. I think he probably was just a minor precautionary thing. He's been fairly good for them. It doesn't look like the injuries... creating issues for him.
No,
I don't know that your return would probably be as big as you think it would be based off his success in New York last year.
Yeah.
I think you might have a better chance of signing him at a halfway decent deal for the next 3 years.
Yeah. Good. It's not a bad question and there's really no bad answer to that either.
No, I don't know. It'll be that one. That's one that we're going to have to watch. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. I would say if I had to put Vegas odds on it, I have a better chance of him staying with Detroit than I do him getting to put together.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we'll see, though. All right. Well, that's another episode, Blake. Stay warm.
I know.
This week's going to be a good week of hockey. There's a lot of really good hockey, and Saturday is Hockey Day in Canada, so that's one of my favorite days of the year. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I always enjoy... sitting back that day and watching all the Canadian battles. Well, stay warm. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next week. More great hockey talk. The Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.